This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Eddie Fry Show. Thank you for being here with us this afternoon. We've got a cabinet meeting taking place right now, and it appears as though Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is talking at this cabinet hearing, and I'd really like to listen into it. So let's just give a peek in.
Big, right?
Yes.
Big.
Yes, sir. Wholesale prices. Yeah. Retail will come. Yeah. Easter is the Super Bowl for eggs. Yeah. So, you know, there may be a little fluctuation, but no, we feel really good about it. Thank you.
That's what I hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. I'd echo what Howard said on the trade cube, that we've got over 75 countries that want to come in. So it'll be Treasury, Commerce, Jameson at USTR, and we're putting a process in place. And as you said, you're going to be part of the negotiations too, because you know I've had these countries call me up and the Secretary Bessent, we're happy you're going to be negotiating. Said, well, President Trump's going to be involved too.
So
bring your best deal on the budget. It's moving quickly in the House and the Senate thanks to your leadership. We're also going to have debt ceiling in there, so we're going to get an increase in the debt ceiling. So, and that will be the done and dusted for
part of the bill that we just got to vote on today. So.
Part of the bill. It'll be done and dusted for 2 years. We won't have to worry about that. And then I gave a speech yesterday to 1,400 small and community bankers, and they were so happy to hear from your administration. And I told them Wall Street's done great for the past 4 years, 10 years, 20 years. It can continue doing great, but it's Main Street's turn now, and it's those small bankers through deregulation, through emphasis on Main Street, your Main Street agenda, bringing back jobs, that is going to power the smaller communities. And then finally, the bond auction went very well yesterday. We had a lot of foreigners show up as the support, showing that the U.S. is still the best place to invest. The inflation report, as you said, was quite good. And energy prices are down more than 20% since January 20th.
Amazing.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Very good. Good numbers.
So the president speaking here about with his cabinet, talking with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. I think that the juxtaposition of Bessent, who's tall, I'm just going to describe him a little bit. He's got very rich old man looking hair, full silver, perfectly placed, and he just looks a little stuffy.
The hair thing feels like a personal attack, but I agree with you.
I think that's something you should tell your therapist.
Well, I will. We'll talk about that.
I'm going to go another place with this here in a second. But the hair comment didn't have anything to do with you, Ryan. I apologize if that hurt your feelings.
It did. but I agree with you about Scott Bessent. I didn't know he was that tall.
I think he's pretty tall.
Okay.
Unless he's always standing around short people.
He does seem like the kind of guy who you go, that guy should be a Treasury Secretary.
Yes. Hooray! Let's do that. Not some sort of politically connected somebody or other who's it's their time to shine. Now let's go to the other contingent of this group. Mr. Lutnick.
I like Lutnick. Where are you going with this?
Bald on the top?
Yeah.
Slicked back hair on the side?
Maybe this is why I like him.
A little bit of extra personality. Gravelly voice when he talks. And you're like, I like this 1-2 punch. And standing... They're flanking who? Donald Trump on renegotiating trade across the entire global stage. This is Donald Trump speaking from the cabinet meeting there, right at
very happy with the way the country's running. We're trying to get the world to treat us fairly. And this is something that should have been done 25 years ago, and it wasn't. Should have been done 40 years ago, and it wasn't. But no president was willing to take it on. But you had to. It's not sustainable. It wasn't sustainable. And as you know, without a lot of money being added, this is a lot of money that we could add. The country is making approximately $2 billion a day. And when you think of it, we've never done that before. Never come close to it. And the number is probably $3.5 billion a day, and that makes us a very strong country.
President Trump feels as though we are sprinting towards being a stronger country. I don't know that it's really, if you trust Donald Trump, you're super excited about it. If you think he's the worst thing to ever happen to the United States of America, you are freaking out right now. Yesterday, we had a really good day on the stock market. The highest increase, I think, in the Dow specifically in the history of the stock market. 2,900 plus points, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, it got over, I think it got up to 40,800 points, something or other yesterday. And now the Dow's down 4.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go again. It goes up, we go down.
By the dip. Although, where is the dip going to stop? That's the question.
Well, if it's day to day.
Yeah, you just keep doing it.
Just
day traders got to be loving this.
Or
hating it.
Yes, I think it's both. We were talking a little bit before the show started. I mean, the first question is, do you ever remember televised cabinet meetings?
No.
The way they're happening right now?
No.
Cabinet meeting is happening. They're going from secretary to secretary to secretary. And Trump's sitting there acknowledging one and they give a report. Acknowledging the next, they give a report. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's full transparency. But the other thing is that Scott Bessent aside, most of these people are very media literate. They know how to hold an audience for the allotted time that they're given.
And that was a Trump intention.
Absolutely. And so it makes sense for Fox to carry it because you know it's not just going to be dry people, you know, just kind of talking in circles. They're going to give an actual update that's going to sound TV ready. That's why they're doing it.
I think it's funny that you say that, and then I think we've got Kristi Noem speaking here. Let's listen in.
Been the record in the history of the nation for the lowest number of encounters at the border, which is absolutely remarkable. You have said that America's laws matter and that they'll be enforced, and we're hard at work now to get people to go back home that are here illegally. So the Alien Registration Act has been in place long enough now that those individuals that are here illegally, if they haven't registered, then they can be charged criminally, and they can face fines up to $1,000 a day and face deportation if they don't go home, and they'll never get the chance to come back to America. So we're encouraging people to use the CBP Home app to register, and we're working on the resources and funding to buy them a plane ticket to send them home. I went to El Salvador, Colombia, and Mexico, and those countries and others are thinking about setting up programs to support these individuals when they get back to their country. So when they get there, they'll have housing and food assistance. And so making sure that these folks have the opportunity to go home so that they can get the chance to come back to America is important. And
so it's a very big self-deport operation that we're starting.
Thousands of people have already self-deported. Well, we're just going to, we've got 21 million people that need to go home because they're here breaking our laws, then we need to facilitate that. And I've been working with the governors a lot lately on several different issues. One of them has been on FEMA for recommendations on how to do exactly what you've directed us to do. And then also I sent a letter and communicated with them that they need to be setting up a SCIF Some of our governors don't have secure facilities to have national security issues. I think one of the jobs Homeland Security has is to give communication down to states, to local cities and communities. And so recommending they get a SCIF, they have secure comms with them at all times or nearby so that they can have national security conversations, and then to have somebody in their office designated that is their communications person. A lot of them have emergency management officers, but they don't necessarily have somebody designated when it comes to a national security issue that we may need to communicate with them on. And I think American people need to know that real ID will be required to travel on May 7th. So those governors have been notified to communicate that at home. We don't want anybody to get delayed and not be able to travel when they get to an airport. And this will also help us bring integrity back to all of our IDs and how they're used for issuing driver's licenses. And governors know how I feel about making sure their driver's licensing system has integrity, because a lot of people use their driver's license to vote. And the backbone of our country and the foundation is election integrity. So,
did you guys get your real IDs yet?
I was just looking at my driver's license, and I don't know.
Mm-mm. If you don't have it, you have to go through a process to get it.
Well, I got a new license within the last year, so that doesn't count, huh?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
Does the gold star on the top mean it's a real ID?
I don't know. I don't have one.
Oh, you sound like you're going to be the authority on this.
Well, I was looking at them today, this morning.
Well, I have a gold star too, Brad.
Do you?
Mine expires on the 12th.
You put that gold star on there yourself.
So. Well, I do cover up my face with pictures of David Lee Roth sometimes.
Do you really have a gold star on yours?
Yeah.
Can you show it to me?
Yeah. Don't show the camera.
This says your height is 5'6".
No, it doesn't.
Oh, man.
You
oh, man.
Right into
totally
that.
Got him.
No, it doesn't.
And then it's got a gold star next to it. Yeah, see, mine doesn't have it.
5'9", eyes green. Okay, I think that's what the facts say.
It's government sanctioned.
That's what the facts say. Mine says I'm 5'11",
well,
Ryan.
Well, we can look at the weight on your license and then step on a scale and see if that's the same. I think most people
we should probably just all do that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know what? I changed my weight the last time I did it to be my non, I was 16 when I put this on their weight. And now my, anytime I'm trying to lose weight, my goal is always to be what my license says. Okay. Like, that's my happy weight. So, yeah. The real ID thing is, I was looking on the website this morning because I'm going to be traveling this weekend, and I was looking into getting my daughter a state ID. She's 12. She can fly with me in TSA PreCheck if she's 12, but I thought it might be helpful to just have an ID with her. And there's no time to get it done in one day. What?
Oh, what? To determine if your Illinois driver's license is a state ID
gold
or
star.
A real ID, look for a gold star in the top right-hand corner.
So you would, when you renewed it, probably in August of last year, whatever your birthday is?
I don't remember. It was sometime last year. So yeah, probably around
like
there.
It would have expired on your birthday. So sometime around there.
Yeah.
You would have had to had like consented to do the renewal as a real ID. You just don't remember it?
I don't remember doing it, no. Yeah. I think it was just a part of the process at that point.
Jared's... he had to renew his last year too, and he had the option to, like, he could go through the process to do the real ID, and he didn't.
I'm surprised to hear them addressing this finally, because we've been told for what, 10 years that, oh, you're going to have the real ID mm-hmm. by this date, and they always extend it. Maybe they will again, but.
I'm a little worried. I need to get mine done. I don't want to go through the process.
She just said May 7th.
May 7th, if you're flying afterwards.
To fly.
I'm going to Hawaii at the end of May.
Take your passport, maybe?
I don't have a passport.
Ooh, yeah, you might need to get on that then.
Yeah, I certainly need to get on it. I got to go. You want to take it from here?
Yeah, that's fine. We're going to go to a break.
What do you got for Hans von Spakovsky next?
We're going to talk a little bit about the legality of Trump's tariffs. Is the House or the Senate pushing back on that at all? And then probably also talk about can the House do this thing through reconciliation entirely, or do they need to filibuster proof the budget for the Senate?
That's not what he talks about. Those are things that would be those are worthy questions. Those are good questions.
They're legal.
But nah.
We got to find out the it's about the process. It's about the process.
Do you want to
stayed within his lane.
Do you want to do the interview?
Not really.
Okay. I was going to say, if we had Ryan Schmelz on next, He'd be the guy to ask those questions. Hans von Spakovsky, we will ask him about what's taking place with the Big Beautiful Bill. And I'm not going to ask him about the politics of it because he doesn't do the politics angle. But I also am curious about the, I think it's called the SAVE Act. Is the SAVE Act the voter ID one, or is the SAVE Act the judge one? Because there's also a congressional effort from coming out of the House right now to push back against these activist judges, so they say. I'm curious about the constitutionality of that one.
That was the third thing I was going to say.
Oh, I should have let you go.
No,
longer.
We'll just let you do the interview.
You're going to let me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll just sit this one out.
Well, we're going to have Hans von Spakovsky on here. Maybe I'll take a list of Ryan's questions, and at the end of the interview, you can guess which ones were mine and which ones were Ryan. Do you like pickle juice, Hans?
Oh, we're going to have to get crazy if that's going to be the case.
We'll get Hans on the show next. Stay close. We'll be right back.
I am one of those
country folks can survive.
Speaker, I view that as insane. We should be making sure that only U.S. citizens are voting in U.S. elections. You'll hear arguments about it's burdensome. Mr. Speaker, I think it's absurd that we're protecting beer more than we're protecting ballots. You have to show a photo ID when you go in to buy a six-pack of beer. You should have to go in and show that you're a U.S. citizen when you register to vote. It's just that simple. And I remind my colleagues that we had this debate in this chamber last Congress. Five Democrats joined us in voting for this bill. Well, in a few moments, we'll be voting, Mr. Speaker. It'll be darn interesting to see how many Democrats have the courage to come across the line and say, yes, only U.S. citizens should vote in U.S. elections. My colleagues should support this bill, and I yield back.
All time for
we, the people of the United States,
more perfect,
pure form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Well, Hans, thanks for being with us this afternoon. I can't wait to talk to you about the SAVE Act. This is something that you know a little bit about, how our elections are managed and how the Democrats have tried to change.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Way We Vote, your book, Our Broken Elections, talks a lot about it. Hans, talk to us about the SAVE Act. What do you think?
Well, sure. And by the way, it just passed.
That's right.
It just passed in the House. Four Democrats actually voted for it. Well, let me tell you, it simply says that when you register to vote, you're going to have to provide proof that you're a U.S. citizen. And there were two ridiculous claims being made against it. One was that it would prevent Black Americans from being able to vote. And second, it would prevent married women from being able to vote. And let me tell you what's so dumb about that. The claim that it would keep people from voting, particularly Black Americans, that is exactly the same claim that the left started making starting 20 years ago when the first states put in requirements that you show a photo ID when you vote. You know, the first time that happened was in Indiana and Georgia. They passed the first laws on this. Laws were effective in the 2008 presidential election. And turnout shows that was completely false. Photo ID laws do not keep people from voting. They don't keep Black Americans from voting. They don't keep anybody from voting. And by the way, that attitude, oh, that Black Americans will have trouble, but nobody else will. That is the most patronizingly racist attitude I can imagine. And Black voters have proven that it's not true and they can vote. Now, they made exactly the same claim about married women. You know, they said, oh, married women are going to have trouble. They won't be able to have an ID or the IDs. They will. Well, here's the question I keep asking reporters who call me about this. I keep saying, well, do married women have trouble getting a job? And they're going, well, what are you talking about? Federal law, federal immigration law, requires every American citizen who is getting a new job, guess what you have to do with your employer? Under federal law, you got to provide proof, documentary proof, that you are a U.S. citizen.
Right.
So all they're doing is applying the same requirement that already applies to getting a job in this country to voting. So, again, their claim that somehow this is going to keep people from voting, same claims they made 20 years ago, all of which have been proven to be completely untrue.
So, I mean, is this going to have any problem in the Senate? I assume when it goes to the Senate, is it going to need to get 60 votes?
Yeah, there's two things here. One, with a straight out vote, they're going to have to try to convince enough Democrats to support it to overcome a filibuster, unless they can try to figure out a way to attach it into a budget reconciliation bill.
Hans, this is Ryan. Right before we started talking to you, Kristi Noem was just in this meeting that we were playing, talking about using the real ID. They're finally, you know, after 10 years of kicking the can down the road, they're finally going to implement the real ID. Is this something that overall, even just with voter ID, is something that the federal government is trying to look at through this SAVE Act? Or like, are these two things related?
Well, there's a series of documents listed in the bill that you can use to prove your citizenship, real ID, driver's license are one of them. But there's actually even an easier way. Look, all states need to do, and this would be a smart thing for every single state to do for many reasons, is every state should have a requirement that if you issue a driver's license, somebody's not a U.S. citizen, It should say in capital letters very prominently on the front of the driver's license, non-citizen. If a state did that, then this would be even easier for people to meet this requirement, because all they got to do is pull out their driver's license.
You know, you mentioned something about women and the difficulty this would, that there were seeing politicians say and politicos say this is going to be complicated right. for women. The reason why folks are saying that is because women change their name. So if I bring in my ID and my birth certificate has my maiden name on it. My ID has my married name on it. Is that something that needs to be addressed through this process for women benefit?
The statute already addresses it. The statute has a provision in it that specifically says states have to establish a procedure so that individuals that have discrepancies can meet the requirement. So in other words, every state's going to have to set a process. So if somebody comes in using a birth certificate and their married name is different, they're going to be able to easily meet the requirement. That's not any different from voter ID requirements. And women who all the time have to go through the procedures, the ones who you know, change their names, look, they have to go through all kinds of procedures, for example, to change the name on their driver's license and things like that. And they routinely deal with it.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, expert when it comes to the process of our elections, how they've been changed over the course of the years. Donald Trump is also talking a lot about trying to refine our voting, our election process to paper ballots. He would like to see one day of voting showing ID. Do you feel like he's on the right path that is actually workable, that he can actually get done the things that he's saying he wants to do?
Well, the president's power is very limited. So is the federal government's power. On the one day of election, I mean, the president doesn't have the authority to, for instance, prevent early voting or to stop states from using absentee balloting. But recently, a federal appeals court, the Fifth Circuit, ruled that a Mississippi statute that says we will continue to count absentee ballots that come in up to 5 days after Election Day, that is invalid. Why? Well, because it violates the federal laws that say the day for a federal election is the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. And allowing absentee ballots to be counted that are coming in after that election day, that violates federal law. That is one area he can make a difference. And in fact, if you look at his executive order on voting, which he filled out and signed on March 25th, one of the things he does is he directs the Department of Justice to go against states that allow absentee ballots to come in after Election Day using that holding in that Fifth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals case.
Hans, since the SAVE Act has already gotten through the House now as of today, does this have a chance of getting through the Senate and to the president's desk?
I don't know whether they can convince enough senators to overcome the filibuster. You know, they did get 4 votes of Democrats in the House. Can they get 7 Democrats to go with this? I don't know the answer to that. I think it's going to be an uphill climb to get that done.
Hans von Spakovsky speaking with us right now. I'm interested in your thoughts on the march towards the signing of the big, beautiful bill, the one big, beautiful bill that Donald Trump has been talking about. We know that the House there last night, it looked like maybe they weren't going to be able to get together on it. It looks like they've passed the next step. I find this stuff to be incredibly complicated to follow, all the procedural stuff that needs to take place in order to get something like this to happen. It's hard to follow, but I also understand that the glacial pace of Congress limits Congress's ability to just write laws and pass them real fast and get them overregulated, to overregulate the American people. It's supposed to be complicated. There's supposed to be a lot of hurdles to jump through. Can you talk to us a little bit about the process of this big, beautiful bill and where we are in it right now?
Well, I think I heard that the budget bill just passed the House. So that's a very big step towards what the president wants with a budget bill, which includes many provisions that he has asked for. So I think he's actually well on his way to success with that.
Yeah, I think it's a huge portion of the economic transformation that President Trump is trying to implement. The tariff question that I have for you, of course, we're watching every day. We go up and we go down and we go up and we go down. President Trump is obviously very committed to this. And it seems as though the executive branch has had a lot of support from the legislative branch in getting the majority of what Donald Trump wants to get done, done. But we're also seeing now some Congress members pushing back a little bit on the tariff thing. What is the limitation? What is the check and balance that exists in Congress against the executive branch's authority to implement these tariffs and to pull them off and to implement them and modify them?
Well, over the past few decades, Congress has delegated a huge amount of authority through federal law that they passed to the president to impose tariffs and to determine the amount of tariffs to impose on other countries. You've had just a small handful of members of Congress talking about paring that back, but the only way they could do that is by amending the laws that already exist. And think about what the chances are of that. Is the current House actually going to pass that? I don't think so. And even if a miracle occurred and the House and the Senate both passed a bill doing that, what do you think would happen when it got to President Trump's desk? He'd veto it.
Yeah, he certainly would. All right. Well, Hans, thank you for the updates today. It's interesting to see our election process being attended to by the Republican majority, and we'll see where it goes from here, Hans. We appreciate your insight. Thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Take care. Bye-bye. Hans von Spakovsky wrote the book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. If you want to read that, he's got great insights, especially on that 2020 election. He's a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. All right. When we come back, Wiggins America, habits of millionaires.
Yeah, we got a few habits that millionaires seem to all have. We're going to see if...
Did you ask them all?
You have. I didn't personally, okay. But this person who wrote the article interviewed over 100 millionaires.
Okay, so it's a pretty good pool of people.
Pretty good pool. These are different habits that all of them had.
All right, we'll find that out in Wiggins America next. The YouTube live chat poll. Who will win? China? The U.S.? Both of them? Or neither? You know, when the art of the deal gets implemented, you would like to think that everybody walks away saying, I feel like I did okay on that. What do you think is going to happen? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote in the live chat poll of today's live broadcast. We'll be right back.
We came from the
west. Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
Hey, you took my phone.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Me.
I will happily say yes.
You got a job that can get me
there? All right. Well, here are some personal habits. Here's some personal
Somebody
habits.
Somebody gave Ethan a bell.
That you will have to incorporate into your life, apparently. Because all
second.
100 millionaires have these.
So I was thinking this is something that millionaires do regularly. You're telling me these are habits millionaires use to get to be there?
Well, it's both. It's
because I
both
thought
and.
It was like having lunch in your limo. And I'm like,
no,
well, okay, that's good for them.
$1 million.
Are you doing these?
Lunch or yeah. a limo?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That. Well, okay.
Good
Not
start.
Looking at the price of eggs.
Fair question, because step one is get $1 million.
Okay, I'll be right back.
One of the things, though, that I've always thought that you would do, that I learned from reading this, to if you're a millionaire, is that you stand up in a limo as you drive through cities, and you just throw money out the top of
really?
The limo. Yeah.
Do you think... Well, first of all, have you ever been in a limo?
Yeah.
What for?
Prom.
Was it worth it?
No.
Not worth it?
I think maybe we had one for my wedding, too. I don't remember.
Nice.
Was it like a
I do remember
memorable
prom.
Day or something? Not memorable
There was
day?
A lot going on that day.
Okay. Ethan, have you ever been in a limo?
Yeah, I have.
Ooh.
It was for...
Go let's on.
See. when you were in elementary school, if you sold, like, you did the fundraisers
magazines?
And you did enough things. So I don't remember what we sold, but if you did enough of them, you got to go in a limo and you got to take a trip to McDonald's. And I did that.
And then eat whatever you want?
Yes. It was like the best day of the year.
That was going to be my story.
What?
Because ours was selling magazines. No. I'm kind of excited that 20 years later, they were still doing that. If you sold the most, no, I think it was if you sold 20 magazine subscriptions. You got to go in the limo. And then people would vote on which fast food restaurant you were going to go to. And then you were allowed to order whatever you want.
That's even better than Ethan's story because he had to go to McDonald's.
I think so. I feel like there's a bunch of options in Bethalto.
Once for McDonald's to McDonald's and once to Taco Bell.
Man, where'd you guys grow up? The suburbs of Chicago where all the money is?
I literally just said Bethalto.
Brad, limo?
I've never been in a limo.
Wow. Limos are overrated.
They are overrated.
You're not really missing out.
I don't believe you guys.
It's just being in a really nice car that has an ice machine.
I almost got us a limo in Florida when we went to Disney World, but I got us a Suburban or something.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
That would have been pretty sweet to ride in a limo, though, I got to admit. That'd be pretty cool.
Would you have stood up out the sunroof?
Oh yeah, throwing money
into Disney.
There's a video on the Annie Fry YouTube channel of when Brad and Ryan and Hannah and I went to Disney World for 2 nights, 3 days of nonstop theme park fun.
Sounds like a good time.
It was a super good time. Ethan, maybe we'll have to work it in. You have to figure out how to get from the airport to the resort. So I ordered a fancy car, but it was going to be cheaper than it was going to cost for us to get multiple Ubers and everything. So it's like, okay, let's do this. But they had the name up there they were holding a sign up that said, did it say your names or did it say the Annie Fry Show?
It said the Annie Fry Show. Oh, yeah. We were walking. I remember we were going down we go down like the stairs, escalator.
Yeah.
And as the moving stairs. And as we're going down, I'm looking around and it's me, Annie, Hannah and Ryan, and then all of a sudden it's just me, Hannah, and Ryan. Annie just kind of faded out the back.
I was videoing.
And then we come around the corner and there's this dude standing there with his slick back hair and holding up the sign. It's just the Annie Fry Show. I was like, man, I feel like
we go out to this big black Suburban or Navigator or something, whatever. And this guy who's going to drive us is so nice, as he should be, and was. And Ryan walks up behind this vehicle with his bags, and he's like strutting in his sweatpants and his flip flops. And you took the bags and you just threw them in the back of the car.
Oh, I don't remember any of that.
It's on video. You were not unkind, but it was funny.
He was playing the role.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I was playing a role because while I was impressed, knowing that I was on video, I acted super
impressed.
You
felt like you belonged.
Yeah.
He had a big smile on
his face. Thing that I don't like that you guys did is that you sold magazines and got a ride in a limo.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, we used to sell whatever, pizzas, whatever.
I don't think I sold magazines. I think it was
something else.
I think it was just kind of, there was a magazine full of different stuff you could buy.
There are people out there that know what a Weeple is, and that's all I have to say about that.
Is that one of them? Weeple?
I'll Google it and see if they're on there. On the Google.
But all we got was a subscription to Tandy Leather Company.
To what?
You could make your own belts.
It's kind of weird.
They give you a strip of leather that's just unfinished. And you're like, look at that.
What's the first habit of the millionaires? We need to know how to get there so that we can...
Number one.
Go fast food restaurants without abandon.
You embrace failure and uncertainty. Do you do this? Do you embrace failure and uncertainty?
Let's just say that in the process of getting to that place, that's something that I know that I have to be okay with. That just sucked. That didn't hit. That didn't land. Uncertainty, I have a problem with too. Like, I'm always trying to do everything I can to know. You never know what you've got. Everybody's got a plan A in their head. And you're always running towards that. But for me, I have to have a solid plan B in place that I can make happen the second plan A crumbles.
Well, then you're going to be poor.
gonna be.
Alrighty. Virgin Group founder. This person interviewed a lot of real millionaires here. Virgin Group founder Richard Branson told the author of this that one of the biggest lessons he has learned over the course of his career is you don't learn to walk by following rules. You learn by doing and then just falling over and over and over again.
Yeah. Well, that's not what they teach you in school.
No, they teach you to follow the rules. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to be a millionaire like Regis Philbin. Number two, people who are millionaires are highly disciplined.
Yeah.
Would you call yourself highly disciplined?
Yes. But in the places that I'm not, it's very frustrating.
I am too. I'm highly scheduled.
You said the other day that you are not a, you're not an unclean person, but you're not a tidy person.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm not. There are places, I kind of, it's, I'm almost bipolar in my need to be clean and tidy. Like, and I, you know, you've got six people in the house. It's just, I'm like, we're going to not have clothes anymore and we're not eating off of actual real dishes.
Me too.
It just never ends. Yeah. It never ends. And I can't, like, it's so frustrating, but it's how I live. It's just a constant cycle of, if I clean everything up by the end of the evening, you won't really be able to tell that I clean.
No. No, that's where grandma comes in.
You guys make parenting sound fun.
It's amazing. It's worth every minute of it. And to explain the things that are this stressful, that's how good it is, because it far outweighs...
Yeah, because there's a lot of negatives, but it's better than the negatives.
Okay.
And I would love to make a joke about this right now, except that she's telling the truth.
It's. I mean, the things that suck about it, like if I gave you, Ethan, in your coming up on 1 year of marriage?
Yeah.
When?
June 1st.
Ooh.
You're coming up on 1 year marriage. If I gave you the pros and cons of having four children, and I only handed you the cons list, you'd be like, no. But it's just, it, like, when you put it up next to the pros, it just, it's not, it's like not even a factor. It's not even a something to add into the equation.
It's so. Also really tough to write the pros. It's just, it's intangible.
Yeah.
So it's very, very difficult.
That makes sense.
And we've talked about this before, that when I was about to have kids, I think my wife was already pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
All guys, and I think this might be across the board, guys tell each other just the negatives. Like, as a fun, you know, this it's is, not like they're trying to be
this
mean.
This is a good tip-off to our 225 segment. Trisha's got a meeting, so we're doing X's and Y's today, where we're going to talk about things that are different across the genders and ask each other questions of things we don't understand across the genders. But I bet the experience for men...
It's very different. Because women encourage each other, everybody's excited.
Oh, that's not true. To their faces. In baby situations,
you're
going to
be a powerful, strong, independent mother... Those kind of things.
I have no idea.
You
if
just
that's...
needed an Ethan in your life at the time.
Well, except that you said independent mother.
Well, mother.
You know. Yeah.
Next.
Radio.
All right. So we're all going to be poor.
And happy.
Number three.
Oddly.
Number three is millionaires don't let their past dictate their future. This is somebody who said they grew up quite poor, and dad was a shoe shiner, mom was a cashier and a secretary. Together, my parents had five daughters, and they were always struggling financially, but she learned how to make money by becoming an entrepreneur. So it's not letting basically your situation dictate what your future situation is going to be, which is very, very difficult. That is one of the hardest things about trying to climb your way out of the class that you're in, especially if you're under sort of the median line, is you've only known things one way.
Yeah.
And trying to learn to do things differently than you've ever seen them, that's tough.
Yeah, developing those habits that are different between the classes, learning how to help your money make you money and stuff like that whenever you're like, when you come from a background where it's like this dollar has to go to this bill because mm-hmm. this is the last dollar and that's the last space it'll fit. You know, all of that mindset is way different.
When you don't look at your past, that was this one, right? If you're not going to let your past consume you when it comes to making plans for your future, isn't that a lot about just not caring what people think? Because, like, when you get to the point in your life where you start doing things, and I'm going to say, like, just for you, but I don't mean, like, in a selfish way. I mean, like, Jane three doors down and her catty opinion doesn't matter anymore to you. At all. And your high school buddies, you know, some of them you like, some of them are knuckleheads. You don't need them to approve of what you're doing. Maybe even like your parents who might have been judgmental over the course of your life or maybe said, oh, you should really do this instead of that. Like all of a sudden you're like, no, I think I have some clarity here. And I know I failed at that before, but I think I know what to do now. And then having the willingness and the fortitude to just go ahead, like that makes sense to me. That as you learn from your mistakes, that you would be in a position to succeed better because You don't care about those things.
Yeah.
Shedding that concern, I think, would... I feel like I'm in the process of doing that. I'm certainly... I don't know if I'll ever get to the other side, but...
Yeah, but it takes time. Yeah. I mean, it's not something that comes in your 20s that you're just suddenly like, oh, I just don't care anymore. It's learned. I'm not a millionaire, but I've had...
You?
I'm not. I've had multiple businesses.
Mm-hmm. You dress like you are.
And I know.
I mean, that's not even... inaccurate.
No, he definitely does.
Yeah.
Tech bro.
I dress like a trillionaire.
Like a
who doesn't care about anything anymore.
He's wearing his Gap sweatshirt.
From 1995.
Outlet.
But
that's Warren Buffett level stuff right there.
You got to learn to take the advice of people, but also discern which advice is good.
Yeah. That's wisdom.
And that's tough to do, and that only comes from doing it. I've had businesses that obviously didn't go well, and now I'm doing other things that are going well.
Like what?
Real estate.
Like what?
What?
Like what?
Like
what about us?
Oh, and this isn't a business, though. I'm an employee.
It kind of is.
Well, the business exists. I am an employee of the business.
The Andy Fry Show LLC.
Opening businesses. Last one, since we're running out of time. They confront challenges head on. You don't really wait. You kind of get out in front of issues that you might be having, either with between people or... whatever bumps in the road that are coming up, you go ahead and address them quickly.
I'm that a little too much.
I do this. I do it reluctantly. I do not like facing issues, especially interpersonal issues, but I'll do it.
Somebody I know needs to be that, though, to. Annie.
Yeah. Not all the time. Not everywhere.
Andrew says, but Ryan moonlights at Temu. So, yeah, we are struggling a little bit right now.
He works at Temu for the store credit. All right. Hey,
which is not going as far right now.
If you have questions that you want us to feature in X's and Y's at 225, what question would you like to ask the opposite sex? And yes, there are only two. We'll be right back with Tyrus. Don't go away.
Leewood, it's time to turn heads, drop jaws, and feel unstoppable. Beaumont Health and Wellness brings you award-winning weight loss, hormone therapy, and advanced beauty treatments like body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Sign up for our weight loss shots and get your first week free. Plus, receive a free body composition analysis and a free B12 shot to fire up your metabolism. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Spots are limited. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.